This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get into this week. As per usual, we have got a lot of interesting international soccer things to discuss. One of our favorite guys to discuss on the podcast is now out of a job. We also have another legend who apparently is not doing well with his current club as a manager. A guy who gambled a lot of money on soccer is back.
Yep. Right?
That was the reason Ivan Toney's gone.
I was like, wait a minute. I put together the sheet. I usually send across the stories. I know that you're busy behind the scenes. Bone's doing a lot here at the radio station. You got your show to worry about, then a bunch of other stuff. So I put together the sheet, and then, you know, we usually go from there, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm the one who sent it over. Yes, Ivan Toney is back for Brentford. How many goals is he going to score? And yes, he wagered a lot of money.
Yes, he did. And finally, one of the most powerful men in sports is under heavy scrutiny. So we will get into all that, and he has soccer ties, and we will get into all that coming up on the show. But Beam, how's the week going so far for you?
Good, yeah, good, man. We took our, we like to call this Williams tumble era, because we are, you know, I told you that he's standing, he's moving around, and doing some things. So we're now entering the tumble era, where he just wants to get on top of things, and I'm like, well, you're going to fall.
Yeah.
And so, like, coming with that territory comes also falling down. So it's good. He usually bounces back within, you know, 30 seconds or so. Like, we'll look at him, he'll cry, and be like, hey, we want to be calm in these situations and not, like, rush to him, you know, to... So I feel like when you do that with kids and then they get scared and then they get really worked up.
Yeah,
so
we're
just like kind of look at him like, okay, you're good. Like, you're fine. And then he cries and realizes like, okay, I'm not really hurt that bad. Maybe that just scared me a little bit. The other day, so usually I'll give you a snapshot of my day. I'm with him from, you know, the time I get home until about 3:30, 4 o'clock when Meredith gets home from work.
Right.
Except for soccer podcast days, that ski club night. So I'm with him the entire day.
Ah, gotcha.
I'm frankly terrified of Thursdays. We could do a 2-hour show. That'd be fine. You know, it'll be good. But she gets home and, you know, we moved his room around and everything. And, you know, now he's downstairs, but his playroom is upstairs. So when Meredith comes home, like, get him all situated. And they usually go up and play to give me like a 45-minute break for like, you know, just the middle of the day. So they were playing upstairs and I'm in the front room. Like, I'm prepping for my show the next day and, you know, doing all the scrolling on social media and just kind of wasting time and, you know, brainless activity. So I hear them playing upstairs the other day and I'm like, all right, everything's going good. And then I just hear,
oh yeah. Oh,
and I'm like, wait,
that's the sound.
I immediately heard, ah,
yeah.
And then wait for it. There was like 5 seconds of silence.
That's a bad one.
And then
that's
it was,
a bad one.
Wah!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wah!
There's for people who don't have small children, I will just, and you've clearly just illustrated this. There is a cry that they have when they're like, I don't know what happened, but I don't like it. So I'm just going to,
yeah.
And then there's the one where they are caught by surprise by how much it hurts because it was a bad something or other. And that's the one where they have an initial, and then they reload and are like, no. I got to give them the full beans. And then it's just,
yeah.
Like, they take a breath.
Dude, breathe.
They take a breath to like let you know how bad it is. They're going off instinct at this age. It's not on purpose.
No.
He's not trying to get sympathy. This is literally his brain going, no, buddy, you can't cry like normal here. We need some primal scream to come out of you. And that's when you know. It's that thud, pause, primal scream. Run.
So he
like,
got
that's
his,
when you
got
to get
he
there.
Got his first shiner because he went down and then his face caught like the leg of a desk chair and he smacked right on that. So we're now in our shiner era as well. But he's looking pretty good. He rebounded quite nicely. I mean, it was like 3 minutes where he was pretty upset and then he was happy the rest of the night. So
good beer, by the way, Shiner.
It is.
Shiner Bock is one of the underrated beers.
I did get a Christmas beer.
Year. I always get their cheer. Shiner Cheer is one of my favorite. Just beers. I mean, it is a Christmas beer, but I like it. Yeah. I would drink it in the summer if they made it. I love that beer. So, yes. Thoughts and prayers to you.
No, we're fine. We're good.
Like, as far as I just know what the next 6 months hold for you, which is him testing boundaries and limits of what he can do. And as he gets more power, then he gets more confidence. Then he gets overconfident. and finds out. Little F around, find out kind of thing.
I'm going to tell him that today.
Yeah, you should. Him. Just get right in his face and be like, this is what you get for F around, find out.
That's right.
Have you seen the graph? There's a meme. You should look it up.
Get on social media. Get on your phone.
Right.
How's your week?
It's good. I have two thoughts that are non-soccer related, and then we will get to the soccer, I promise, given this is a soccer podcast.
Nah, it's a lifestyle podcast.
That's right. A lifestyle of soccer and beer. That's what could be better? So one thought is I very much enjoy the band Deftones.
Okay.
If you asked me when I am just down the street, if someone ran up and was like, do you like Deftones? I'd be like, absolutely. Love Deftones. I love a lot of the stuff that Chino Moreno has produced, other bands where he's like been on the album or he's produced it. I love the Deftones. They're great. However,
I don't know if I can tell you one Deftones song.
Sure you could.
I mean, I would know
a handful of songs instantly from them. And again, this is like mid-90s, you know, power rock kind of stuff that I liked, right? But I will tell you right now, every time I listen to Deftones, and I actually, not just the stuff that were singles and things like that, but if I sit down and listen to a Deftones album, I find myself going, holy shit, this is good. Like, it's not like, it's not, what I'm saying is, I think a lot of people, I think I am guilty of doing a thing where, if you ask me, is Metallica, do you like Metallica? It's like, yeah, I like Metallica. They're heavy, they're metal, they're a legendary band. Yeah. Lars Ulrich, not my favorite drummer, kind of a douche. But outside of that, I mean, I appreciate and respect what they've done for that type of music,
sure.
Right? And I love Metallica, and they're great. When I listen to Deftones, I'm like, I will follow this band to the, like, why have I not just abandoned my family to follow them to whatever they're doing? Like, I just love
their music. You're a deadhead. You're a deafhead.
I love their music is what I'm saying. And it's one, though, that I forget about how much I like it until I just sit there and listen to a whole album, and then I'm like, why isn't everybody talking about this? It's still good. Like, I get mad. But it's
obviously with me and what I just said.
Here's
when I leave today, I'm gonna fire up some.
Here's a song. I will tell you a song to illustrate what I mean, because it's not just their heaviest, you know, like craziest screamy stuff, which I do like too. But they have a song called Sex Tape, and you listen to the words, like, yeah, I mean, we're basically, I think we're talking about sex here. That's what it seems like.
We're gonna talk about Karim Benzema later, so
sure.
It fits in with this episode.
Right. But like, I'm not a huge, like, lyrics person when it comes to music. I'm more about the vibes and the feel of the song.
Big vibes guy.
Let me tell you right now, that song is the epitome of someone being in a groove. Like, that, when you hear that song, those musicians were all biting their bottom lip and going, yeah. Like they all were just like, we are awesome. Like, as they're playing it, you know, they can't not do the, like, stick your head out kind of a little bit and bite your bottom lip. Just like, yeah, man, we rule. Like, they're just, you can tell they are in the groove and it sounds awesome. It is like another song that probably more people would know is like Incubus, Wish You Were Here.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, you know how that has those kind of chill, like, vibes, and it's just harmonies and it's groovy. It's like that. It fits into that. I don't know if that was Southern California in the late 90s. I don't know what that comes from, but
I love Incubus.
Dude, Incubus is one of the all-time greats.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, they're another band, by the way, that when I listen to them, I'm like, no, I like Incubus. And then I listen to them, I'm like, they are awesome. Like, what? Why do I not talk about this more? So, but today, if you need a song to just check out, see what I'm talking about. Deftones, Sex Tape, if you don't know it, go look it up. And tell me they're not awesome. Maybe it's not your style of music, but that song rules. Like, they're just good.
I think it's Dig from Incubus, I think, is one of my favorite songs.
That's a great song. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, this is my, I love heavy, screamy, chaotic stuff. I will listen to, like, alt-country stuff. I will listen to hip-hop, all different things. But that, like, late 90s, early 2000s, active rock groove stuff that was Deftones, Incubus, some Linkin Park could fit in there a little bit at times. Not really. That was a little more edge. But still, that type of stuff, those are, like, the modern, bigger bands that did it. But yeah, I could listen to that stuff all the
time. See, that for me is like, I mean, because you're a millennial, aren't
you?
Yeah,
I think I'm like an elder.
I'm right in the sweet spot for the millennials.
I was the first of the millennials,
you're
young,
like,
child.
On the bell curve of the millennials.
I'm
you
at
know,
the
like
very
on the,
end
on
of
the
it.
Ascending
but
like,
I was,
bell curve.
I am technically a millennial, I think.
So, like, that to you is like my version of like middle school screamo. Like that's,
yeah. Oh, and I love middle that stuff that was your middle school screamo was my like after high school screamo. Yeah. But I love all that stuff too. Hawthorne Heights, all that, like love it. But
yeah, like a Senses Fail. Like I put on Senses Fail album and be like, all right, this is just what we're listening to today, and this is gonna shape. We've actually played like a bunch of that stuff when William's in the car and like, you know, we're cooking dinner and everything. We're giving him a big palette for music. Mm-hmm. He likes Senses Fail because they, you know, when they do the big scream, like he's like, rah!
Awesome. When Abby's four now, my youngest, and when she was last year, I would just say to her, I'd be like, you know, this music would come on, and she would like bob her head up and down and be like, oh yeah, I was like rock and roll, and I would make the little devil horns rock and roll with my hand, and then she would sit there and you'd see her fiddling with her fingers. And so one day I came in to get her out of bed and she just goes, walk and whoa, and like stuck it up because she figured it out overnight or that morning or something before I got in there. And so she was just put her hands up, was like, walk and whoa. And
that's
so now
awesome.
Now anytime anything close to rock and roll comes on, she just puts those up and is like, walk and whoa. So we have a lot of fun with that. The other non-sports thought, and then I promise soccer, I got out of my car yesterday, pulling into our station, which is right next to the main post office. Mm-hmm. Downtown Grandview area,
across the river from the Death Star.
Yeah, right across from LDC. You can see the towers when you're at Lower.com Field. You see those two towers sticking up, the radio towers. That's us. That's where our building is. So I get out of the car and I look up and I see a bunch of birds like flying around kind of chaotically. And then I see a big bird flying around kind of chasing him. And then he's like swooping around, moving around. And I am like looking at this bird and I'm like, that could be a buzzard or like a, you know, one of those turkey vulture things. But they don't usually fly and attack birds. This is something, this is more, those are, like, you know, they're coming in after the dead animals. This is something that's chasing active things. That's some kind of raptor hawk type of thing. And I look a little closer. I'm like, it's too big to be a hawk. Holy, is that an eagle? Sure enough, there are two bald eagles that are nested right down the road from the main post office in Grandview. You can actually, there's a parking lot. You can pull off and
right
go
off Riverside, right?
What do we call it?
Turns into
Dublin 33 Dublin Road, whatever. Yeah, all that. So it's right there, and you can pull off and go look. So there's a huge nest. You can see them sometimes. They've had babies multiple years. They've had babies that have grown up and left the nest and all that. So they've been there for a while. They have a Facebook group. People follow them. This was one of those eagles, I'm fairly certain, flying around our building. Trying to get, there's like 50 robins just hanging out by the building. And I think he was kind of like scouting because he was doing a bunch of figure eights and then he'd kind of like swoop down and they'd all fly away and then he'd swoop away. So I got a few terrible photos of it with my phone. Doesn't do it justice, but let me tell you what, we can have our issues with, you know, America and all these different things. And I agree, there's lots of things wrong with it. But in those moments where I see like a bald eagle, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like Joey Diaz, salute the flag, like stand up, like just for a moment. And then I'm back to like, all right, yeah. Bob Bradley sucks, you know, and then I get back to like how I wasn't a fan of his tenure. And then now it's like Greg Berhalter I got my issues with. But still, yeah, the bald eagle flying around for a moment. I was like, is it 4th of July? This feels like 4th of July.
They really are astonishing beasts. So where we go up in Michigan.
You probably see them all the time.
7 hours away. There's always been since the years that I've been going up there. And it's probably like 10 years that I've been going up there. Like they have a gigantic nest at where we stay at. So you take your you know, boat or wherever you're at, like you can kind of see him from where Meredith's parents lived at. And Meredith's dad, before he passed away, is like, that's Eagle's Landing over there. So
it
would take the boat and like go right by it. And you don't realize how gigantic their nests are.
They're huge, how
massive these birds are until you get to see them in real life. And what I like to do up there, like I get up early in the morning and, when we're up there, I like to go out and I like to fish, right? I mean, I don't like to fish for big fish. I like to throw a worm on
a hook.
Like
to catch something.
I like to sit there and have coffee and look at the water.
Yep.
And if it's something to do to put a worm on, and like I'm not going for gigantic like walleye or big bass. Like,
yeah, I know. You're not angling. You're
not
fishing.
Angling.
Those are two different things.
I'm just outside enjoying time away.
Yeah.
And there was one morning where I'm like, this is a David Attenborough documentary because there was one bald eagle chasing a smaller bird and they're flying like right in front of me.
Yeah.
Like flying right in front of me. This bird's, you know, hightailing it, whatever. And I think it was a rabbit or a squirrel or something that was like on the other side. And this eagle, man, it just bolted from the bird, immediately did like a big, huge, like left hook and just double claw swiped the squirrel, like went straight up in the air. And I'm sitting there, so I'm like, is anybody else watching this? Or is this I'm just getting to enjoy the show. Flew like 200 feet up in the air.
Oh, my gosh.
And then dropped that sucker. Like, dropped the squirrel. And then squirrel obviously didn't have a good time upon landing. Eagle came back down, picked it up, took it to its nest. I'm like,
that's incredible.
This was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life.
I'll tell you, man, I have, the last few years, I've been getting out more in nature, and I really do enjoy birds just because they're fascinating.
Mm-hmm. They're dinosaurs.
They are, and that's the thing. I read a book. It's called The Rise and Fall of Dinosaurs by Steve Harvey wrote it. It's good. He has a lot in there about Cat Williams, actually. It's quite good. Everybody should read it. But no, Steve Bruschani, I believe is his name. He's a paleontologist, this guy. But he basically has a whole part of that where he's like, look, dinosaurs didn't turn into birds. Birds are dinosaurs. He's like, there's the things that make dinosaurs dinosaurs, they are dinosaurs. They're the dinosaurs that survived the asteroid. And he's like, I'm not saying this as just one crazy person. This is the fairly modern consensus of most people who study dinosaurs, is that birds are not a descendant. I mean, they are a descendant.
That's if you believe that birds are real.
Well, true enough, if they're not CIA plants that are just trying to spy on us. But yeah, I've also seen out where I live in Union County, we have a lot of like hawks, like red-tailed hawks. You see them fairly often. I have seen smaller birds. I don't know if they were, they were up in the sky. I couldn't really tell, but birds that look like robin-sized or pigeon-sized type birds, four or five of them ganging up on a hawk that was trying to like get them. And they are like, you can see them like swoop in, and three or four of them will be kind of hectoring it, and the hawk's flying away. And then one of them will like jump on its back and like peck at him and then fly away. And then they'll do it, and the hawk will turn around. It's wild to watch this stuff. If you're not looking at telephone poles when you're driving, we're not on the same level at this point. Cause I'm looking at telephone poles like, is there a bald eagle up there? Is there a hawk up there? Is there an owl up there? Start there and then just go down the wormhole with
me.
This
is actually,
look for dinosaurs with us.
This is masqueraded as a soccer podcast.
This has been the whole goal.
This is a bird podcast.
The whole goal was to get people onto birds. It's been a long play. 5 years, we're finally here now. We're on a bird.
We've got
talk.
The audience. We feel confident enough. Birds.
Yeah. So let's, before we go into all this, let's take something from Twitter. You had a listener who got to us on Twitter that had a question about soccer. So let's talk about that.
All right. So we have great Twitter followers. And again, at Bone Beam United is where you can follow and interact with us on the good old Twitter machine. And I like this. Chris, he tweeted at us and he goes, hey guys, new soccer fan here, getting into the crew, Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, et cetera. Is there a good beginner podcast that explains the leagues, different cup competitions, FA Cup, et cetera, differences in the leagues? All right, Chris, or anybody who is new to the game, it's tough to understand at first. Now, I would recommend the more that you watch, the more that you will kind of understand what's going on. When you're talking about the crew MLS, they play in MLS, and that's starting here in like 6 weeks' time, and it's crazy how that season is already going. The majority of the games that are played across the world of teams that you watch, at least from the clubs, are played in their own domestic leagues. So you mentioned the Premier League, you mentioned La Liga, you mentioned Bundesliga. Those are their own separate leagues.
Yeah.
That's where
each country has their version of the NFL or Major League Baseball or NBA, but of soccer. That's their top professional league of soccer.
And then we talk about promotion relegation. There are leagues underneath of them. And if you finish top X, whatever, usually three spots in the league below, you get promoted up to the big boy, and they have plenty of tiers below them as well, where you can catapult yourself from the lowest division all the way up to, you know, the grand poobah in the Premier Leagues and the Bundesliga. So like 90%, but like 75% of the games that you see of like a Manchester United or a Chelsea or name your club, an Aston Villa, that will be played in the Premier League. And the Premier League is 38 games because
there's
20 teams. You play each team, one home, one away, so 3 points for a win, 1 point for each team with a draw, 0 points for a loss. At the end of the 38 games, we'll tell you who is the champion and where you finish on the table.
Yep. So there's that. And then to further complicate matters, there are what we will often, you'll hear people talk about is, you know, they're playing for their, you know, they're playing for their professional team or whatever, and then they'll play for their national team.
Yep.
And the national team, you probably have that figured out too. That's like a guy could be playing for Manchester United, like Erling Haaland, who is a great player. Erling Haaland, though, didn't play in the World Cup this last time.
Nor is qualified for the Euros.
Yes, because he is from Norway.
Yes.
And Norway did not make it into either of those competitions because of qualification with his country. So even though he might be the best soccer goal scorer in the world, he didn't play in those big competitions because his country didn't have enough around him. Because, again, it's based on who is in your country and how good your national team program is. Nothing he can do about that.
And you have to qualify on the same – you get drawn
random
opponents.
You're not guaranteed in. Yeah.
And the most amount of points in your group or whatever, I'm not going to go through the whole qualifying
system. Yeah, there's
system.
A whole – that's a whole other podcast we could do just on how do you qualify for all these different tournaments. Yeah. But so what you will hear is, like right now, there's the African Cup of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
That is a tournament being played between African countries
– Only.
National teams only. It's a championship that they have. European championships will be coming up this summer. That will be all of the European countries that qualified for the Euros. They will be playing each other like in a World Cup type of style, but it will be Italy versus France, et cetera, those type of things. I hope. Is Italy qualified? That's a question. I don't remember if they won it last time. Right. I'm just saying Italy's been a little up and down the last few years. You don't just throw them casually in there.
Miss a Euro, win a World Cup.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on with them. But yeah, that's the national side. And then inside of your domestic leagues, now I think here's where it gets the confusing part.
Yeah.
Inside of your domestic leagues during the season, you play in cup ties. So we'll just use the Premier League for example.
And by the way, cup tie, you're playing for a cup. A tie is like this is a
the match.
This is the match, the game they're playing. They'll just the term they use is cup tie. Oh, that's a cup tie. Oh, that's a meaning. It's not for the domestic league. It's for some other event. And then whatever cup it could be. Usually, it's like the FA Cup is a big one that you'll hear about. That is the Football Association's Cup of England. The Football Association oversees soccer in England. So it oversees the Premier League and all those other things, but this is a separate competition. It also sees all those little smaller leagues, Champions League, all that, or Championship, I should say, League One, League Two, et cetera, all the way down.
Exactly. So the FA Cup, for example, like Bone just mentioned, it's every professional team that is governed by the FA, the Football Association. So you could have an eighth division team. If they keep on winning, and at certain points, like League One, which is the third tier of English professional soccer, at some point League One will get entered to the mix, and then the Championship, which is the second tier. The smaller teams play far
more games in that to qualify to even get to a point where, like, the Premier League teams aren't even going to join until it's all those 128
other teams.
Those other teams have played like probably 10 games or something before they would ever get to a point where they would play a Premier League team. But if they win them all and they keep going, they eventually could run into the biggest clubs in the world.
That's why the FA Cup is great, because it's madness, and we've seen, you know, giant slayings over the years. So that's
the cup situation,
and it does get confusing because they play at the same exact time as like their domestic league.
Yes, so you will have a game where you might in a week, and this is where it can get confusing.
This is where we're at right now. Like we're in FA Cup time in England right now.
Yes, and between that and the African Cup of Nations, you have like that's so guys who play for Manchester United might play for their team. You know,
Andre Onana, the goalie for Manchester United, just left after last week's Premier League game against Tottenham to join his international squad. So he's going to be away while they're playing for the African Cup of Nations.
Right. So then if Manchester United, let's say, has an FA Cup tie, cup game, he will be playing with his national team. He will not be available for that game. But other guys who are not in that tournament would be available, and this is what managers and teams have to figure out is when do we play these guys, when do we rest them. You got to manage all these minutes. But let's pretend that African Cup of Nations wasn't going on. You would still have like a Premier League game on Sunday, then on Tuesday or Wednesday you might have a FA Cup match, or usually they take a weekend off and they do them on the weekends, but whatever. You could have an FA Cup match be on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And then on Saturday, you could be back to playing a Premier League game. And in that time span, you could theoretically play, like, if you're Manchester United, you could play Brentford on Sunday in the Premier League because that's what was scheduled by the Premier League. And then on Wednesday, you've drawn Brentford in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
That's the next round matchup. And you play them again, and you might play a totally different lineup because you're like, we don't really care about winning the FA Cup. We'd rather win whatever. Or you might do the opposite. You might think we can win the FA Cup. We're not really concerned about winning Premier League games as much. We're going to throw out a lesser lineup on Sunday in the Premier League game because we're going to try to kick the crap out of them on Wednesday with our best lineup, because that'll get us to the semifinals and we can only two more games we win and we're in the championship and suddenly we're FA Cup champions. That would matter, right? That would be important to them. Other teams may not value it that way. So they manage guys based off of that. So, but you could theoretically play the same team like two or three times in a week.
Yeah.
if you're playing them in different competitions, but they count for different things.
Of course you can. And then you got the Carabao Cup, which is an entirely different thing. And we won't spend a ton of time. That's more of like a domestic, like top tier cup. That's not everybody in the FA governed by England, but you do have that cup, and that's kind of a worthless cup. And that would be Manchester United are the champions of that. I celebrated it like they won the Premier League last year, but that's a different story. And then again, to confuse things even more, Champions League, which is, we talked about the domestic leagues like the Premier League and La Liga and, you know, the Bundesliga and
the best leagues from all of the European countries.
The top point getters at the end of the year inside of those domestic leagues will move on to something called the Champions League. And the Champions League is a mix of all of the best teams across Europe in the best leagues that play each other on an international basis.
Yeah. So imagine it this way. And again, if you're more familiar with American sports, this is why I bring it up. If you watch the Major League Baseball, if you watch a World Series, and let's say there's two teams in the World Series, but there were four teams in the, you know, the ALCS, NLCS, the League Championship Series. They would take, in the Champions League, they would take those four teams, even though only one of them won the World Cup, the other four teams they would put in a group, and then they might go to Japan and say, we're going to take the top four teams from Japanese baseball last year, put them in a group, and then we're going to go down to, like, Central America and Mexico and, you know, all these different leagues.
DR, wherever.
Yeah, take their best three or four teams, put them in a group, and then we're going to have all those teams play each other. But the results from last year determine the tournament this year.
Yes.
So you would be looking at, in Major League Baseball coming up this season, like in July, right? You could have one of these teams playing, you know, a three-game series. Then they would stop playing that series and go play a team from Japan for three or four. You know, they would play that series, and then they'd go back to playing Major League Baseball. So in a week, they play games, but they randomly just end up playing different teams based on the competition. So you could have a team that's having a really terrible year in their domestic league. Maybe they're like fifth in their domestic league. Not as good as when they won it the year before. But in the Champions League games, they've been doing well. Yeah. And they've beat these teams. And now they might be in the top four of the Champions League. But in their own German league, they're fifth.
Yeah.
And that, so then it becomes like, well, we got a chance to win Champions League. Why are we trying to, you know, they have to figure out what's more important. Again, it's, so that can get very confusing when you see Bayern Munich is playing Manchester United. And then Bayern Munich is playing Real Madrid 3 weeks later, and then Bayern Munich is playing, you know, Hamburg, and you're like, what counts for what? And it's like, well, and then they have in Germany, they have their FA Cup version. They have
Deutsche Pokal.
Yes, they each have their own version of that too, where they'll play the lower level teams. So you could, again, what we just said with England, go to Germany, Spain, Italy. They all have versions of all those things. And I acknowledge that there are times where you, if you scroll through a team, like follow Real Madrid and look at their social media, follow any of these big clubs, and you'll see, like, today we try to do it in Europe, and it's like of them playing, I don't know, whoever, name your team, like Barcelona.
Dortmund.
That's a bad one. Dortmund. So they're playing Dortmund, which is a German team. And then the next week, 3 days later, they're like, Barcelona for everything, but it's not a Spanish La Liga game. It's for
Copa del Rey,
which is their. So then you'll see a week later, like Barcelona, El Clasico. And you're like, what is this one for? And it's like, it's very difficult to keep up with unless you're a diehard fan of one of those teams. So the best thing I would tell you to do is pick a league that is appealing to you and then
stay in the league,
follow that league and follow Champions League. Those are your best. I think if you want to get into European soccer, follow a team in one league and just pay attention to that league's goings on.
That team's fixtures.
Yeah. Look at, go to, let's say you pick Arsenal. Look at Arsenal, look at their Premier League schedule, and then follow Arsenal and kind of get a little bit of that. And then follow the Premier League as a whole to get a view of where Arsenal sits in the Premier League. Good, by the way. And then check out Champions League, and you will see you'll see the best teams in Europe playing each other. That's about the easiest way I would say to get into soccer if you're trying to get into European soccer. And then, yes.
I hope we did it just.
Well, we barely scratched the surface,
I agree.
But you have to remember, the systems, if those are confusing, just remember they've been built over like a 130-year period. Yeah. So what you're now wading into is picture trying to get into Star Trek like right now.
Yeah.
Where it's like there's a million series, there's books, there's movies, there's... Where do you start? James Bond, where do you start? Do you start reading the first book that was ever made? there's a lot of material between now and then. So if you jump into the latest James Bond movie, you may not get all the references.
Yep.
So it's okay. But this is, so
you'll
I would
still
say,
like it.
Yeah, but watch a James Bond movie and see if you like it. Pick a team in the Premier League, see if you like it.
Maybe you hate the Premier League.
Yeah. Maybe you'd much rather watch La Liga or something. I don't know. I tend to think each league has its own sauce and flavor to it that's a little different.
There are some leagues that I like and some leagues that I can't watch. I can't watch Serie A. Like
it's a very different game. It's an extremely physical game, and then every 5 seconds you've got everyone complaining like it's been the worst foul in the history of mankind. But now that's almost every league.
Yeah.
German teams are going to be very possession based. Mm-hmm. They like to do a lot more of that. Traditionally there's always outliers to this. And then you've got, you know, watching something like the Spanish league, you've got teams now that are doing the same thing that you see with the Crew did in MLS, where they're just like, yeah, we'll hold the ball. We'll stand right here in front of our goal and let you almost slide tackle it into our goal. And then we'll tap it 5 yards away and then we'll live on that razor thin edge. So there's different styles of play all over the world. You can kind of start to pick and choose, but I say for at least a year, pick a league, pick a team, follow that. And then Champions League, dip your toe in for the, you know, start watching Champions League in the spring.
Yeah. Now, like when
now,
it comes back.
When next time it's back, it will be the best teams. What are we at?
Round of 16.
Knockout rounds.
So
now you're basically dealing with the top 16 teams in Europe, and they're just going to whittle that down to the final, which will come up in May. So just follow that that's like 5 months. You can follow that and keep up with Champions League, follow the rest of the Premier League season, see if you like it. And this summer, if you don't, then go watch the European Championship and see if, like that, it's or Euros. Just see if you watch that, and maybe that's a whole different thing that you like.
I think you nailed it. Good job.
All right. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll get into all the news and stuff that we have today, including some problems for, where was I going to start? Oh, yes, our guy, one of our favorite guys. Speaking of different leagues that are not the Premier League, we will talk about a guy who's out at one of our favorite stops, one of our favorite coaches. Get into that next. It is Bone and Beam United. You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United, which is, of course, I appreciate. Who is it that sent us that tweet? Chris. Thank you for that. That gave us like 20 minutes of material I was not expecting to talk about.
And it's always good to refresh everybody, too, because it does at this point of the year, you've got a whole lot going on. So, like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
What am I watching right now?
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to know that. So, please, feel free to tweet us. We love the interaction. Keep it coming right there at Bone Beam United. We have Eric's question of the week. Neighbor Eric gives you a question, and then we'll get into some of the other soccer news.
All right, Neighbor Eric's question of the week. Last week we did, if you could pluck any player in the world, put them on the Crew roster, who would it be? We turned that into something else. This week's question, I think, is fun. Neighbor Eric's question of the week. If you were to establish a soccer/crew-themed bar, where in the city would it be located? What would it look like? And are there any particular features that you would include? Now, Eric and I obviously live very close to each other. We share a driveway. Eric and I had the same exact thought because we're both selfish. We live close. We live up in Clintonville, close to Morse Road in Indianola, is where we live at. And he said, are there any particular features that you would like to include? He said, I've always thought Morse and Indianola would be a nice place for a soccer bar, brewing yummy beers, maybe building a crew looking smokestack that is used for like a stone fire pizza.
Ooh, I like that.
I think right in that area would be great. It's been long my dream, and Meredith has quashed this every time I've been brought it up. More of a pipe dream, not really a goal, but I always thought it would be fun to open up a brewery like right there on Indianola. Like I know that you've got like Saver Pint and, you know, we like to go to Studio 35. That's kind of right down the road, but it's kind of like industrial like back there. And I'm like, there's plenty of room for a brewery that would focus on soccer like that, because I'm selfish. Again, I live close, so that would be a quick little walk for me to get over there.
Sure.
But I've always said that, like, that would be a great area. And yeah, brewery, I've always kind of wanted to do that. Like, you and I like our beer. I think that'd be fun. I know nothing about brewing beer. But I think that would be terrific. And of course we would lean into the soccer stuff because obviously why would we not?
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. That's not a bad location. I will be selfish and put one closer to where I am, but I will keep it in Columbus ish area. So I live in Marysville. So for me, the northwest side of Columbus, Dublin area is probably like the closest place that I could get to. But I end up going a lot over to Bridge Park.
Okay.
And
it's nice over there.
But here's the thing. Bridge Park itself is nice, but it's all new and it's all kind of, I mean, you know what it is, right? It's like the brand new shiny coin, right? But because there is the bridge across the river that you can go to Old Dublin, that area. Now you've got parking all over the place because of Bridge Park. And then you can walk to the old Dublin part too. And there's a little bit more charm to some of those restaurants. I do like going over there quite a bit. There's a restaurant I like in there called Tucci's, which is nice. They're rebuilding it, but
Getaway is great over there. That's in the Seventh Son arm of breweries. And we really like it there.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, Seventh Son makes terrific beer.
Seventh Son is, yeah, one of the best in Columbus.
And
I
if you haven't
been,
have you been over to Getaway?
No, I have not.
It's good. You'll like it because Getaway, and the thing I like about Seventh Son, again, they have their own three different breweries. They've got Antiques on High, which is down in the German Village on High Street, across from the Liverpool Supporters Bar, local cantina, right down there. And then they have their original Seventh Son, which is, of course, terrific, kind of in the Italian Village. But the Getaway, it's in Old Bridge Park, like the other side of the river, the west side of the river. And they it's like a travel-themed brewery where they make beers from, like, all across the world. So they have, like, Japanese rice lager in there and, like, other kinds of... Yeah, they have, like, different things that they kind of experiment with. And I find that to be really fascinating. And then I try a good amount of these international beers, and then I usually end up getting, like, either the Scientist or Humulus Nimbus because I just like that beer. So, like, they've got Antiques beer over there. They have Seven Sons beer over there, too, and we really, really enjoy that place.
See, I think that's – yeah, I got to go check that out. I was trying to think of what my feature would be for the bar. Now, again, I have an affinity. Ruby Tuesday, the bar down on campus, is where a lot of the old Hudson Street hooligan guys used to hang out, and I used to go there quite a bit. One feature that I would put in any bar that I opened that was a soccer bar, especially if it was a crew bar, I would harken back to their basement, because their basement is – it was kind of – you had to know about it, and you'd go down there, and it was a unique little dungeon experience down there, but I loved it. But what I would do is I would open a soccer bar, crew-themed bar – and I would have a basement, and the basement would be like a wide open space with a little bar on either the side or in the back of the room. But I'd have TVs up on the walls, stuff like that. I would also have a stage at the front, and I would put concerts. I would make it big enough that you could have like smaller, like punk or rock or different things like that, or dance, whatever you like. But it could host concerts in there on days where it's not soccer. And then when you have a big soccer game, it's like you blow out that and you can just have everybody down there. But it's a wide open space where everyone just kind of stand. It's not like there's tables and chairs. You can just kind of mill around, talk. A lot of, you know, jumping up and down could happen. I even think that could be like a little private club area where it's like you have to buy a membership to get down there, just, you know, to make sure it's like the hardcore fans that are like, yeah, I'm in on that. I want to be a part of the little crew soccer group down there. But then the upper area, I would have... Again, one of my favorite spots I've talked about is Fado. I love how that's laid out. Mm-hmm. I would probably do something, even though I'm not Irish, or I guess if I am, I have some Irish heritage. I'm not saying I'm like born and raised to have this big Irish background. I would like to have some tribute and homage paid to like the Irish style pubs. I do like, you know, I love Guinness. I love beers like that.
I had a Guinness. We went and watched the United match at City Tavern where we get together, the Red Devils. And they pour a hell of a pint of Guinness
down
there.
I tell you.
It's been a while. It's probably been like 2 or 3 years since I've had a pint of it, but it was awesome.
I guess this is just what happens when you get older. Maybe you get more bitter and you don't mind it. But like when I first had a Guinness, I was like, I don't know how people could drink this stuff.
No bubbles.
And also, I probably got a bad one, is honestly. Because, you know, that's improved over the years here, too. If you don't pour it right, it really can sour the experience. But, yeah, I had a pint of Guinness the other day when I went with watched the Aston Villa game against Manchester United with the supporters group here. For Villa, and I just took one sip of it and was like, am I drinking chocolate? Like, this is so... I was so glad my taste buds have come around to that because I do love the aesthetic appearance of a Guinness, and now I really enjoy drinking them, and it's been too long. I need to do that more often, but...
My feature would be the picture of Don Garber handing the trophy over to us this past year. That would be my... That and the original rules and regulations and explanation of Tam and Gam by Bez.
Oh.
I would have the original... explainer of that up there.
I would also get Elliot Stanek, who is a longtime crew fan and a great memorabilia collector. Like, he knows how to get some really cool stuff. I would say, Elliot, this bar is yours to decorate.
That's
here, I would give him like a I would get the financing to have a check to say, here's the amount, make it happen. And then go out and find like the coolest crew memorabilia. If you have to buy it, whatever, go out and find it and let's get that in the bar. And I would have like a case of like old soccer balls and jerseys and historic stuff, maybe a pair of cleats from a big game. I would go all in on that stuff. I think that would be cool. All right, let's talk some actual soccer news. Roma has gotten rid of Jose Mourinho, the special one. He is no longer in a special place there. So if you're familiar with Major League Soccer and Caleb Porter, there's a thing we've talked about where Caleb Porter will like win you a championship early yep. and then burn out fairly quickly.
Yep.
Jose Mourinho is probably, sorry, I had a burp. That almost, oof, that was bad.
It almost came, it sounded like it almost came up.
No, it was just like, it was going to burp and then it just caught me off guard. I don't know what happened there. I think I almost had a stroke. Anyway, Jose Mourinho has a little bit of that track record too of like, he gets there and then about 2 or 3 years is what you get out of him. You'll probably win something, but eventually everyone's just like, we're done. We can't do it. We're done with this guy. His style
similar,
of play.
Similar play style kind of to Caleb Porter. It is. What they do.
Yes, it is. It is not going to be the most viewership friendly no. soccer in the world. It is grinding. I mean, it's not quite to Atletico Madrid levels, but
it's closing
it gets
in
there.
On it.
It gets there.
If they need to do it, they will.
Yes, right. Where they, and again, if you don't know what we're talking about, that's just soccer where it is possession, but only to just mindlessly kick it around. And you're almost like, where's the, is this ever going to build into something?
No, because their goal is to get a point. Their goal yeah. is, to, I mean, Jose has said plenty of times, like, our goal is to go in here and get a 0-0 draw.
Like, yes, right. Like, he has no problem parking the bus in front and letting you have the ball
minutes.
For a while, too. Yeah, I mean, it's maddening to watch, and it is some of the grossest soccer you will see at times, but it has been wildly effective. However, Roma, who had been doing pretty well with him, they currently sit ninth in Serie A, 5 points away from fourth place, but still not, I mean, ninth in this part of the year. They yeah. are still, it's a very compact table, but that's not up to the standard that they've got for themselves at that club.
It's not up to the standard that he brought back to Roma.
No, you're I mean, right.
They were
you're
toiling,
exactly right.
They were toiling
exactly
around
right.
there for a while, and I think that they won, why am I blanking on the name of it? They won league. They won UEFA League, and then
oh,
they won.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm blanking on the second one. They won Europa League. Europa
did they
League.
Win Europa? Yeah, that's right. They did. That's right.
And then they
yeah.
won conference. They won Europa Conference and League. I think in back-to-back years or like 2 out of the 3 years that he was there. So like he won them international trophies on a big scale. Yeah, I'm just gonna. I'll be sad officially, and Jose will get another job. And there have been links and reports that he's gonna come to MLS, which.
Oh my gosh. Listen to me.
I will watch Jose Mourinho.
Yes.
More than I would watch Inter Miami with Messi.
Absolutely. And not even to watch their style of play. It's
to
watch
see
him. Just to, dude, I would travel to see Jose Mourinho manage a game.
I would pay more for a ticket to come see Jose
absolutely
at
right.
Lower.com Field than I would to see Messi.
Well, you know, and again, I don't think this is going to happen,
no.
but have you seen the Minnesota United coaching search
no.
thing? So they got rid of their coach back in October, as you do in MLS when you don't make the playoffs and you're bad. They still don't have a manager.
Jeez.
They have gone through this is their second interim manager. Training camp is this coming week. Like it's they don't have a manager, and it's been over like 90 days, almost 100 days, and they've not figured that out yet. So just saying, maybe
Minnesota in January.
I tell you what. I can't picture Jose Mourinho
going from Rome to Minnesota.
No. Doesn't strike me as a place that Jose would. I mean, he's famously not lived where he's managed.
He like, lives there. He gets a hotel.
That's what I mean. Right. He'll get a hotel, but he doesn't maintain a residence. He
no.
knows the game. But I don't think you can do that in Minnesota. You're gonna have to get something there because I don't think you want to walk around in Minnesota this time of year.
He is the best. I'm going to be so sad when he like hangs him up officially.
I know. But you know what we have? I will say this. If he keeps managing, we're missing out on what we really need him to do is
coach the national team.
Well, that I need a John Madden level turn from him where he is now like the like if you could you imagine if they hired him, Fox did to
yeah.
do like the World Cup
I'm
and
in.
Be I don't care who you pair him with. He's my number one analyst
yeah.
that sits there. I think just like. Yeah, this is crap. I hate all this. And he's just like, this guy sucks. That guy, like, he's not going to pull punches.
No.
He's going to tell you how he feels. He is a brilliantly intelligent person when it comes to soccer. You can say everything you want about his personality quirks and everything else.
Yeah, he's great.
He's probably not a person that you would want to work for necessarily. Although a lot of players have gone to the mat for him over the years. I don't think
he just has a style that's going to rub. It's going to rub thin on you.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite Jose moment? And again, this isn't the end of him. Like when he retires,
no.
if we're still doing this podcast, if we're lucky enough to still be doing this, like when he officially announces that he's done with the game, like then we'll do a full, maybe like 2-week podcast on Jose Mourinho. Do you have one that stands out above the rest of you?
I was.
There's so many like press conferences. Not one, not two, not three. Three Premier Leagues. More than any other coach in the Premier League right now.
Yes.
He's the best.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I don't have a favorite moment to answer your question. Other than like it's become the meme where he's like, I am Jose Mourinho. Like it's just him introducing something else, but I just enjoy that little snippet. But I would pay good money to be in the press conferences if he came to MLS. And if he got one of those reporters that asked, like, Bastian Schweinsteiger in Chicago, was like, so are you going to try to win the World Cup? And he's like, well, what? You know, like, huh? Sorry? I would love to see Jose Mourinho get one of those questions. Like, Tampa Bay's coach. Todd Bowles just got the question about his football team going up to play Detroit. And it's like, how are you preparing for the weather? It's like, well, we're in a dome, so I don't think there's...
They played there for the last 50 years.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right. I'd love to see that with Jose. What do you have?
Mine is the Mario Balotelli story. I don't know if
I'm familiar with that.
If you've heard him tell this, and Jose Mourinho, obviously, you know, he coached AC Milan, he coached Inter Milan, and he's coached all over the place.
He's coached some of the biggest clubs in the world.
Has he coached AC Milan?
I know he coached Inter Milan. That's where he had a ton of success. I can't remember. I don't know if he did AC Milan. He may have. Again, it's hard to... With Jose, he is a mercenary. He will coach against his mother. He doesn't care. Like, he will coach the rival of... He would coach Duke and North Carolina, Ohio State and Michigan. Yeah, he would... No, like, I'm saying he'd go from one job right to the other. Like, he would have no compunction about that. But I can't remember if he did actually coach at AC Milan.
All right, so here
pull up all the teams. Let's just run through his resume.
All right,
real quick.
Let's look up Jose Mourinho, and then I'm gonna play. I'll play the audio for you.
Oh, you have it. Okay.
I just found it on the computer.
All right.
So Jose Mourinho famously, the reason why he became so big is because he won a Champions League at Porto, right?
Like, yes,
what got him like kickstarted.
Yeah.
So in 2000, he was managing Benfica, which was in Portugal, and then União de Leiria, which I have never heard of before.
No.
So then he won a Champions League at Porto from 02 to 04. And then from 04 on, he became the chosen one. He went to Chelsea. All right. That's where, you know, he won some Premier Leagues and did some great stuff. There after Chelsea, after he got fired, he went to Inter. And then from Inter, he went to Real Madrid. He left Real Madrid after winning a bunch of championships to go back to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Got fired from Chelsea, then went to Manchester United.
A great time for you. You love that.
And then from United went to Tottenham, and then a couple of years ago got sacked at Tottenham and then went to Roma. So he has never coached AC Milan. But when he was at Inter Milan...
That was with Balotelli.
He got to deal with the likes of Mario Balotelli. And here is my favorite Jose Mourinho clip of all time.
What was the most problematic player you ever had to deal with?
You know, I think the most problematic...
I'm thinking of a few.
The most problematic, they were funny. They were funny.
Can I give you a suggestion?
Mario?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mario. Mario was good fun. I could write a book of 200 pages of my 2 years in Inter with Mario, but the book would be not a drama. The book would be
a comedy.
I remember one in Kazan. We went to Kazan in the Champions League, and in that match I had all my strikers injured. No Milito, no Eto'o. I was really in trouble, and Mario was the only one. Mario gets a yellow card in minute 42, 43. So when I go to the dressing room at halftime, I spent, I would say, 14 minutes of the 15. I was spending 14 minutes speaking only for Mario. Mario, I cannot change you. I cannot make a change. I don't have a striker on the bench. Don't touch anybody. Play only with the ball. When we lose the ball, no reaction. If somebody provocates you, no reaction. If the referee makes a mistake, no reaction. Mario, please. Minute 46.
No way.
Red card.
No way.
That's the best.
Yes,
that's
I love it.
That is the best.
I love that.
It draws on so great.
Yeah.
Mario Balotelli, if you don't know, he had some things that go on.
Sure, yeah.
He's an own podcast with himself, but Jose, Mario, I have no Militao. I've got no Eto'o. You are our only striker that is available. 14 out of the 15 minutes during halftime. He's talking only to him. Rest of his guys, he's good, doesn't care about.
Yeah.
46-minute red card.
Red card, yes. I love that. That's amazing. That is incredible. Yeah, Jose is a unique character. And if you never saw, you should go look this up too if you've not seen it. I forget the show in Britain that did the puppets that had the Wayne Rooney puppet and the Jose Mourinho puppet. Yeah. But that is a lot of where the special one stuff comes from. Mm-hmm. It would be these puppets, and they had people who would imitate him and kind of mimic how he talked and how grandiose he was. But then that added to his personality, where like how Frank Caliendo does the John Madden impression, and that even brought Madden to like another level of consciousness for people who are like, I don't even know who this guy is, but this comedian's making fun of him, and now I need to go back and watch John Madden stuff. That's like Jose too. There would be things where it'd be so outlandish, some of the stuff the puppets would say in this comedy series, but then you'd go watch him actually talk and you're like, not that far off.
Yeah,
like,
it's close. It's close.
But him going back with Wayne Rooney, like, oh, how's that? Just, oh, man. We got to tweet that out. I'll find a clip and tweet it out from Bone Beam United. But, yes, Jose, interested to see where he went. The last thing I was going to bring up on that, you brought up his places he played, and we talked about how short he usually is.
Yeah.
Let me just read you the years at all of these spots. Porto, 2002 to 2004. Chelsea, 2004 to 2007. Inter Milan, 2008 to 2010. Yeah. Real Madrid, 2010 to 2013. Chelsea, 2013 to 2015. Like, it's
not 5 years. He does not spend 5 years at a place.
This is not Sir Alex Ferguson.
No.
He is not a guy who's going to be a long-term guy. So, yeah. Another guy that I probably hold in similar belovedness, but for different reasons, is Carlo Ancelotti. Like, just of hey, my Carlo. Favorite managers, if I find out that he's managing somewhere, but of course, now he's managing the greatest European club
in
the
world.
He's
a mercenary.
Yeah, but... he's always going to have good quotes. He's always going to have good teams. His style of play is much different
way
than what you have.
Better, he, more
he
entertaining.
He enjoys the game of soccer, unlike Jose, I think, at times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's – yeah, so Jose Mourinho, we someday when we have time, which I guess will be never, we should probably do, like, 10 or 12 episodes where we just pick guys like Mario Balotelli, like Jose Mourinho, and just – here's their career. Here's some of our favorite moments. Here's some audio of them. Just, but like, pick 10 or 12 of those guys. Big Sam, Sam Allardyce. Like,
of course.
Go like, just through some of these names you hear all the time and be like, let's really go through their career. If I don't know if that's of interest to other people, but I think that could be a lot of
fun. That would be great.
Sit around and do that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe we won't. Let's see.
Tell us if that's a bad idea.
Yeah, let us know. Good or bad idea. Would you like that? At Bone Beam United. So we mentioned Ivan Toney earlier.
Back.
He's back, baby. This is a guy who, you know, very, very talented player who had a, did he officially, was it called a gambling addiction? I know he'd
breached protocols. He scored 20 goals in the Premier League last year. I think he was the third highest scoring guy in the league.
Yeah. But this is a guy who had a lot of controversy around the, a
lot of bets.
Yeah. He was diagnosed as a gambling addict and accepted, 232 breaches of FA rules on betting. So, yes. But in he's talked a lot about this addiction over the years and discussed kind of over the months since this happened. But his suspension is over. He is back for Brentford. That is a big boost to them because, yes, he is.
They're in a relegation battle.
Yeah. However, he also, I mean, this is some balls to basically come back and then say, yeah, I'm back, baby, and I want to play for Championship, so I may not be here. So transfer window's open. So while he's like, yeah, I'm back, and also
get me the F out of here.
Yeah, Chelsea, Arsenal, hit me up, apparently, are some of the clubs that he is looking to. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, any other thoughts on him before we move on?
Yeah, it'll be good to see him back. I like the way that he plays. I very much enjoy him, and hopefully for Brentford fans, if they can kind of curtail that until the summer and they can get him to stick around, they can avoid relegation, and then you can sell him off in the summer. I think that would be an ideal situation for them, obviously, with sitting on him for these last recent months.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Another guy who is in the managerial spot, to go back to, we're talking about Jose, Xavi is someone who has a Barcelona legend. This is an excellent player, but as a manager, it's not gone nearly as well as you'd want it to. The reports now, and again, this is going to happen. If you don't know, we were talking about all those different competitions they play. In Spain, Barcelona and Real Madrid this past Sunday played in the Supercopa final, which is another one of their domestic competitions for a cup where you get a trophy and all that. In that final, between Barcelona and Real Madrid, two hated rivals, El Clasico, They lost Barcelona 4-1.
They got their ass kicked.
Yeah. It is not the type of thing that is shocking that when a team loses to a rival 4-1 in soccer in a big
cup final.
In a cup final, it is not surprising to see this report the following week, which is Xavi may have lost the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dressing room is split on him, and some of these guys are not necessarily in his favor anymore.
Won the league last year. Xavi did.
Xavi
with
Hernandez.
Barcelona, they won the league. And then they come into this year, a lot of expectations, you know, in the Champions League and kind of everything, and lost this one to Real Madrid, sit in fourth in the table. So, like, that's already a problem. By the way, good job, Girona, our guys,
yeah,
who we just learned about.
Yeah, they're doing excellent.
So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, February 21st is their next Champions League game. They have a two-legger coming up against Napoli, which is a great team, fun team to watch.
Napoli's going to be a tough,
assignment. That's going to be tough for them. So, I mean, maybe we might find out in the middle of February if Xavi's still going to have a job.
Well, and his quotes were, because he was asked about whether or not the locker room still believes, and he says, hey, I'll pack my bags if I think I don't have the locker room. I'm not worried about that. Like, he's not saying that he's going to keep his job. He's saying, if you think I lost the locker room, you're wrong. But he said the players are with me and all those other things. He wouldn't be here if they weren't, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, getting them to a league title last year was quite the accomplishment. We've talked about Barcelona's struggles financially, mm-hmm. and not that anyone should have pity on them. They made their own bed.
Right.
But you're going up against Real Madrid, who can pay whatever to whoever, whenever they want.
And their guys happen to be playing unbelievably at the
unbelievably
at the
good. Yes. Real Madrid, go figure. Back good. Again and good. Yeah.
Yeah, but back again. They're one maybe off year.
Yeah, right.
They didn't win Champions League or the league. Like, that's a bad year.
I know.
For them.
I know. It's a down year for them when they went it like 3 or 4 years in a row. But yeah, I will say this for Barcelona. Now, I do like Real Madrid, but if you're not familiar with the dynamics in Spain,
yeah,
Real Madrid is the rich people's club. That's always it's the favored club. Is kind of how it's
Spanish.
I mean, it's in Spanish royalty, but I mean Real Royal. That's where that comes from. But also like. It's just the club of it, it gets all the hype and the vibes and all that. It is a little bit Barcelona and Real Madrid have a Yankees Red Sox dynamic in the sense of the Yankees were New York City, all the media. Boston's the one that's like, hey, but we're really good too. And we have all the same history they do. But yet we don't get talked about in the same ways. And now that Lionel Messi's gone, Lionel Messi was the identity of Barcelona for the last 15 years plus. He's not there now. And he hasn't been for, to be fair, quite a bit because he was with PSG, but they are trying to rediscover that identity. And what they've done to do it is spent like credit card debt to the max to try to, they're keeping up with the Joneses. Didn't work out. Now they've suffered some financial penalties because of that. They don't have the same squad that Real Madrid can put together. But Barcelona has always been the club of the common people. You know,
but it's so different too. Like if there are geopolitical reasons in Catalonia and how like
Catalonia is its own.
It's a very like they're inside of Spain, but they don't really want to be inside of Spain, and they have nothing in common. Like they speak Basque, right, which is a different language.
Right,
like,
I get the vibe. It's very much like a Montreal and that situation to the rest of Canada, where it's like, you know, French Canadian. There's been a discussion of that part of Canada just becoming its own thing. There's a little bit of that with Spain, too. Not a little bit. That is a thing. So Barcelona and Real Madrid have that going as well. But for Barcelona fans, when you are losing 4-1 to Real Madrid, it's not tenable.
No.
Like, it's not.
Ever.
And it doesn't matter who you are.
You could be leading the league. I mean, you could have won all your Champions League games. You could be leading the league by 10 points. You do that to them, and all of a sudden, it's like, blow the whole thing up.
Yeah, but so last year, they win the league. They win the league. That's great. This year, they're talking about this. And again, this is not for nobody. This is a club legend. Yeah. This is a guy in Xavi Hernandez who has won tons of stuff, won tons of hardware with Barcelona as a player. That's I would just, as an aside, this is why it's difficult for me when you have a player that you love. You just saw your guy Wayne Rooney go through it. He's out after, what, like 15 games? I forget where he was managing.
Birmingham,
that's right. And they ran him out of town after, I think it was like 13 out of 15. They did not get a result.
Went from like fourth in the table down to like 16th or something.
Right. Like I'm saying, there's probably a part of you that would love to see him manage Manchester United.
I would love it. But you also know that there's going to come a day where it will end.
This is likely how it ends. Like your legendary guys going and managing your club seems good at the first press conference.
That's why Zinedine Zidane and what he did was remarkable.
Right. Where he basically went in and kept that standard up pretty much the entire way. And
the
then
three Champions Leagues.
Yeah. I mean, it's that is unheard of. Most players going back to one of their former clubs, that usually does not work out that well. And now, sadly for Xavi Hernandez, he's figuring that out. And we'll see how it ends for him. Maybe he can get a turn, but that is not great. So I'm sure Barcelona fans are kind of sick to their stomach about that. The other big thing we want to talk about very quickly, and then we'll get out of here, is this story about the chairman of Newcastle.
The PIF.
Yes, who also runs the monetary, the investment fund of Saudi Arabia. This is the same fund, and he is the same guy who is the chairman of LIV Golf.
Yep.
And oversaw like all those monster payments to all the different LIV golfers. His name is Yasir Al Rumayyan, chairman of both Newcastle United and LIV Golf. He is apparently being sued, or could be sued, for allegedly having carried out the instructions of Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, with, quote, malicious intent of harming, silencing, and ultimately destroying the family of the country's former intelligence chief, Dr. Saad al-Jabri. So these claims are being made in legal papers that were dispatched to Al Rumayyan at multiple high-profile locations. They were sent to St. James Park, where, of course, Newcastle plays, during the second week of January. But he is the governor of the Saudi Public Investment Fund, which, of course, is worth over $600 billion, yeah. I believe, is the number.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So
it's interesting. And again, you can read this article, and it's on The Athletic. If you have The Athletic, it's fascinating. Just with everything that's kind of going on, and it, you know, this is multi-sports like that we're talking about, right?
Well, I mean, we've talked about really... how LIV Golf has, I mean, or if you're a golf fan, you've seen this PGA yeah, LIV Golf thing.
Of course.
And Newcastle has been a ridiculously good story for the Premier League in a way, because they're one of those clubs that was always kind of a good
up and down, relegated,
big following, kind of middle of the pack kind of club. Never a contender in the last 20 years to win the league.
Right.
Now, last year, they were one of the best stories in the Premier League until you realize they're basically Manchester City.
Well, they
you
are. Know,
I mean,
they
that's,
are.
That's how they got
with
to that point.
With more money.
And I know that there are Newcastle fans who are kind of like, yeah, but did you see our last ownership group? Where right. they, I mean, they basically had to beg this guy to leave. They had horrible owners yeah. for many, many years before this. So I get why fans would just say, I don't really care where the money comes from. I just want to win. But this is not good for the Premier League, not good for Newcastle.
Well, it's not, because, I mean, in this entire article on The Athletic, I mean, it talks about political reasons and wanting to take people out and, like, kidnapping family members and, like, all this being done. Like, Al reminds the guy in charge of, like, orchestrating all of this. It's pretty gnarly story.
Well, I mean, not to get too much into the depths of this, but you can go back to the issues. A lot of people have issues with LIV Golf and obviously this monetary fund in part because of, among other things, Jamal Khashoggi, a American journalist yep. who, you know, was also or a journalist who lives in America, and he is American, but he was from there and had to go back there to get a marriage license, I believe, and had to go to that assembly. He was very critical of the prince and of that regime, had to go back, went into a government building, never left.
Yeah.
And it is believed. And then obviously he died. And pretty much the international community was outraged by this. And MBS said, who can say what happened? You know, and it's and this is a guy who is, I mean, this is essentially who, by de facto of Al Rumayyan, this is who's running Newcastle. This is who's running LIV Golf. This is a guy who is tremendously powerful.
Of course.
But a ton of and
maybe the most powerful man in sports right now.
This brings up the issue of sports washing, the term that we've talked about quite often, talked about with yeah. Qatar when sure. it came to the World Cup, right? Is how much money does it take to kind of clean yourself of the dirty headlines and the horrible underbelly of what is believed to have happened in your regime? How much money can you spend to get a sports team or a sports entity or a big sports tournament or something to happen that takes the headlines to, well, say what you will about the regime, but this was great, you know? That's essentially what Newcastle is functioning as right yeah. now. That's what LIV Golf is trying to function as. And that raises some difficult questions. I don't blame anybody as a Newcastle fan who says, man, I just want to root for my team.
Yeah,
I'm not,
of course.
I know you're not supporting this at all, and I'm not right. insinuating that. Even as a Sunderland fan who hates Newcastle,
yeah.
I would never insinuate that or even – I'm not hinting at that. I am saying this is a problem that major sports leagues have to deal with
yeah.
because this group has the money – to buy every team in the NFL if they want to. And
buy the NFL.
They could. I'm saying they would. They if they could, they could double the price of what every Cowboys are estimated to be worth $10 billion. Yeah. They could pay $20 billion and not blink
for it.
Right. They could pay 50 for every team in soccer or in the NFL, the most expensive sports league out there, and not even blink. Can you take that money is the question.
Right.
Can these leagues be in bed? And the Premier League had an issue with this group taking over and said, we need binding assurances that make it very clear that this is not being run by the Saudi crown prince. And now that's being called into question because, I mean, again,
they called it the fit and proper owner test. Yeah. And well, now here you go. And here's all this. Yeah, it's a pretty wild story. Again, I would suggest if you do have a subscription to The Athletic, Adam Crafton wrote it, who does a fantastic job on everything that he does. It's a pretty good deep dive into everything. And then on the same lines, like the Saudi Pro League, right? Like now guys are leaving. Jordan Henderson's leaving. You have other guys like Karim Benzema's not happy there. And so like all this money that has been thrown into that, now you're high caliber players after spending a year there saying, I don't know if we want to be here in the future. So again, it's fascinating. I mean, this is like the human part of soccer. You know, we talk about the fun lovingness of Jose Mourinho and on the Mario Balotelli story. Like now there's like other real stuff going on. So again, if you have an Athletic subscription, I would suggest that you go read that and then you can make, you know, conclusions for yourself on this, but it's a pretty wild thing that like the most powerful man in sports, who is now, you know, the owner, the director of this PIF fund, which is over again $600 billion, and owns a Premier League team. Like now, how does the Premier League respond? Again, these are all allegations. This is going through Canadian court.
Part of the allegation is that a hit squad landed in Ottawa with a goal of trying to assassinate him.
Right.
And I mean, it's dark. And the same month that is alleged to have happened, that is when Jamal Khashoggi disappeared from the embassy in Istanbul, which is where this is believed to have
occurred. His kids now have a travel ban. They can't leave Riyadh. So basically they're kidnapped. Like, and he is obviously not going to leave Canada. Like, it's a pretty wild ride.
And meanwhile, if like Newcastle wins the Premier League, this is the guy who will be on the field holding up a scarf and handing, like getting the trophy and being a part of that celebration. Like this is who. And I just don't know how to square that. Yep. And I don't know how the Premier League can. So not to put the heaviest thing at the end of the podcast, but yeah, I will say this for Newcastle fans who, again, I don't root for Newcastle. I feel for you in the sense of if you're like disgusted by this, Manchester City fans who may be disgusted by some of the stuff that's alleged with the ownership group that owns your team, whatever, like people who Chelsea with Roman Abramovich,
sure,
right? I mean, that's Russian oligarchy money. And go look at Russia in the headlines lately and see, you know, that's why he doesn't have a team anymore. I feel for people who are like, I just want to watch my soccer team. I had nothing to do with this.
Right.
I didn't ask for this. That does suck. And so I want to tell you as a non-Newcastle fan, as a Sunderland fan, I'm sorry. And anything you win is completely ill-gotten and tainted forever. I'm just kidding. I mean, yes, I'm just kidding.
Not kidding.
I'm really, not kidding. But I'm kidding. All right, that's it for us. You can tweet us at Bone Beam United. We'd love to talk to you, and we will do this again next week, Beam.
Absolutely. See ya. Have a great week.
See ya. Have a great week.